This morning, our scripture is taken from the 7th chapter of Luke at verse 11 and reading through 17. And so hear the word of God as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. Our text this morning points us to a reality of everyday resurrections. Everyday resurrections. People say that there are two things in life you can count on. One is death, the other is taxes. Well, for sure, death seems to be an obvious reality. But our faith, as we talked about last week, the right kind of faith, invites us to hold on to our faith and hope. As Jesus reminded us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." So for some, death is nothing more than a transitional act that gets us to the very thing we hope for, eternal life. And if the stories about the wealthy's ability to avoid paying taxes at all is true, then the idea that taxes are certain is a truth that comes under the scrutiny of the Internal Revenue Service and those with enough money to avoid paying taxes altogether. The only thing then that seems to be truly certain are the promises of our Christ about his power to raise people to new life. That seems to be something we can count on every day. This story, recorded in Luke, follows the story we studied last week about Jesus and his power to heal the centurion's slave by simply speaking the word. Our story follows Jesus' journey into ministry, and yet it is a story in which he is beginning to live out his calling. Earlier, according to Luke, Jesus stood in the synagogue and proclaimed these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In our story from today's text, Jesus has met a woman whose life had been ripped apart and taken away from her because her only son had died. It didn't say that she didn't have any daughters. It said that her only son had died. In a culture and a time where the male child from a woman's loins was perhaps her only hope of being cared for in her old age, an only son was everything. He was more than just a child that she bore. He was her support in her continued years of aging. And now she has lost everything. She's lost her past with the memories of the only child that she bore. She's lost her present and the days of knowing that her son would be there to support her. She has no one to provide for her daily now. And she's lost her future. Now she has no legacy to protect her. She's lost her hope, and for her, there is now no good news. There's nothing more for her but a life of a lonely existence. And behind that but is the fact that Jesus is passing through her town. He just happened to be entering the town as the funeral procession was being led out. The one who is called the resurrection and the life is now encountering someone who is being swept beneath the rug of hopelessness. Our scripture simply says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. For many of those people following Jesus, it was just another day. Another day of death and tears, another day of grief and despair, another day where an old woman's hopes and dreams were being swallowed up by the reality of death. But what started out as a day birthed in normalcy of death and mourning ended up being a day of resurrection and life. Not only was the woman's dead son raised to new life, but the woman's life was resurrected as well. The lives of those who witnessed the event had their hopes and their faith renewed. Their praise and their thanksgiving to God was resurrected, and new life, resurrected life, was there for all of them to experience. I'm sure this story of the widow's son gets lost and buried in the more familiar stories about resurrection. Often when we think of resurrection and the stories about resurrection, we are drawn to our remembrance of the two Mary, of Mary and Martha and Jesus and Lazarus. We remember that in that story, Jesus wept. I don't imagine that either Mary or those who were friends of Lazarus had the expectation that day that anything out of the ordinary was going to take place. For many of them, it was just another day. Or we remember the Easter story and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death to life. But this story about the widow doesn't come to mind so easily as a story of resurrection. I mean, think about it. Neither her name nor the name of her son is mentioned in the report. Only that she was grieving and her only son was dead. But then came Jesus, and what was normal turned into something extraordinary. And suddenly our eyes are taken off of what is and forced to take in what could be. Our minds are lifted above the ordinary to consider the extraordinary acts of God. And who of us hasn't at one time or another, perhaps that Jesus wouldn't have been there for the funeral of one of our loved ones? We'd have liked Jesus to have been there to touch the casket of our loved ones, to bring new life to us. But it didn't happen. Many of us have had to follow the funeral procession all the way to the cemetery where the final words of committal to the earth were said, knowing or at least believing that we'd have to wait for the final resurrection to come before new life could begin. And regrettably, if that's what we thought, then we've missed the point of the story. And perhaps more tragically, we've missed what could be the possibility of resurrection in people's lives each and every day. You see, brothers and sisters, life continues to happen, even when Jesus is present. Sometimes we allow ourselves to think that if Christ was here, the laws of the universe would cease to flow. We would allow ourselves to believe that the presence of God in our lives and close to our lives, walking and talking with us, would somehow interrupt what naturally happens to us in our human condition. And I will openly admit that we often get fixated on what we see in Holy Scripture as an example of the way we believe life should be. We see Jesus moving among those who are broken and desperate, without hope and without life, wishing Jesus would just touch them. But have you ever considered that of all the illustrations there are about Jesus in Holy Scripture, healing the sick and the lame, the halt and the maimed, have you ever really thought about how many people were not healed and Jesus was present? And the fact that there may have been thousands who continued to live broken and despaired lives, even when Jesus walked the earth, doesn't diminish what Christ did while he was here. And isn't that our experience now? A tornado sweeps through a community, wiping it out. Flooding takes the lives of some and leaves others completely intact. Wars reduce countries to rubble. Violence and murder on our streets continues to bring grief and sadness to families and communities across the land. One person seems to be miraculously healed of their cancer while another sits anxiously waiting the death that will come and enable them to greet their Lord and Master. Some people wonder where God was when their loved ones died. Others are thanking God that their lives have been spared. Some have continued to walk around hopelessly, and others have been raised to new life and hope. And in every situation, in every circumstance, Christ is and was present. In every circumstance, Christ was faithful to his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But the laws of the universe were not altered in each and every situation because of his presence. Accidents still happened, life still happened, death still happened, and the mercies of God continued and were new each and every day to someone, somewhere. Yet and still, Jesus still looks upon those who suffer with compassion. He looks upon us and sees our brokenness. He looks upon us and sees the challenges that life throws at us. He sees that enemy called death stalking us, hoping to break our spirits and leaving us faithless and without hope. And in the midst of it all, Christ holds his compassion for us as his invitation to be raised to new life. His words to us are to offer us comfort from the trials that life heaps upon us. His words are given to take away our hopelessness and replace the misery that life often lays at our doorstep. When Christ speaks to us, he commands us to do that which goes against what we call normal. Christ invites us to do what God has created us to do. He commands death to leave us and life to take over. Christ commands us to disregard our present situation of hopelessness and to trust in a God who is able to raise us to new life and new faith, in a God that says that God can do what others believe is impossible. And let's not talk about those who have told stories of their death and return from death. We could talk about all of the people who have experienced what we have labeled near-death experiences. And the list would go on forever, but there are others. People who, for all practical purposes, are dead and on their way to the graveyard, even as we speak. You see, brothers and sisters, we watch those who are headed for the graveyard. They're dead and headed for the graveyard from day to day and week to week and year to year. And we could go on and on. We may not know all of their names. We don't know all of the names of those who have died, but we can imagine the death on their faces. They are the ones who, while still living, move closer and closer to their final resting place, having died from loneliness. They're trapped in a funeral procession of fear and don't know where to find the courage to go on. There are those who are among the poor who each day find themselves one step closer to being placed in the cold earth because they believe and feel that no one cares. There are those whose lives have been lost in marriages or relationships gone bad, who are laying on their own funeral bier waiting to be buried because they've lost all hope. There are those who are among the walking dead. Their lives ended long, long time ago. And each week they sit alone in nursing homes, not sure what day it is, uncertain of the faces that are in front of them each day, because Alzheimer's or dementia has made them as good as dead to some. Each of these persons is experiencing death in some sense of the word, but each of them is waiting for the touch or word of a compassionate God who will have compassion on them and raise them to new life. Each of them is waiting to be rerouted from the graveyard of death into the glorious life of an everyday resurrection that Christ alone can give. The problem is, some of us don't believe that the Christ alive in us is good enough to perform and everyday resurrection in us. But Christ present in us is good enough. And we must be raised to new life, giving glory to God for the everyday resurrection that we've experienced. We must glorify God for raising us out of our everyday lives of death. Christ has touched the bier of our mortal existence and invited us to be resurrected to live transformed lives, living in awe of what God could do for us and in awe of spreading that news throughout the city, the community, and the country, and the county, and the state, and the world. You see, friends, death doesn't have to be literal for a person to be in the procession to the graveyard. There are people in our world who walk each day in a virtual procession of death. Some of them are in the procession because they neither know nor want to acknowledge the power of Christ to raise them to new life. We were once people walking along in the funeral procession of life when we were found by God's amazing grace, and Jesus encountered us and touched us, and we experienced an everyday resurrection of life and hope. We found a God willing to raise us to new life and new hope from what was an inevitable death for us. And the same God who enabled us to experience everyday resurrections and raised us to new life has empowered us with the responsibility to invite others traveling in that procession of death to encounter Christ and experience that everyday resurrection in their lives. We must let the light of our everyday resurrection shine as bright as the sun and remove the darkness of hopelessness and the despair from the lives of those in their own funeral march. And when we allow others to see the everyday resurrection that we've experienced, the one that has raised us to new life, then people will be seized with awe and amazement at what God can do. I know it for a fact, because I know there's some people who find out and talk to my wife and say, is your husband still preaching? I never believed he would become a preacher, because I was raised to new life when Jesus touched my funeral bier. So brothers and sisters, let's celebrate the everyday resurrections in our lives. Let's celebrate those of us who were once being carried to the graveyard zone, the bier of faithlessness, dead from failed relationships, dead from biting and corrosive attitudes that eat away at our soul like a virus until the death of our spirit becomes a reality. Let's praise God for all of us who once marched in that procession of death caused by bitterness and hatred and anger and resentment and disbelief and faithlessness, but have now been raised to new life by the touch of Jesus Christ. Let's lift up our voice and sing and give praise to God for raising us to new life from the death of a sick spirit and a heart disease of indifference, from loneliness and despair, from heartache and heartbreak. Let's shout out our praise to God for his amazing grace, for speaking a word to us and commanding us to rise up and walk, rise up and run, rise up and love, rise up and live, but rise up. And when we rise up and others see and hear about our everyday resurrection from death and that we are alive, they too will glorify God. Celebrating the power of everyday resurrections by Christ, who came to resurrect and transform our lives. And he can do it and does it every single day. And that is the word of God for the people of God.